You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the weekend, and thanks for kicking it off with me here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. We are now in the middle of a long week-plus stretch without basketball games for the Rockets. They last played Wednesday night in Minneapolis, falling 121-111, dropping Houston to 33-24, entering the All-Star break, which takes place this weekend, and then a few days off the beginning of next week before the Rockets return to action late next Thursday night, nationally televised against LeBron James and his Lakers at Staples Center. That should be a lot of fun. This weekend, though, outside of James Harden in the All-Star game, and I doubt he plays that many minutes given the state of his shoulder, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on. The Rockets don't have anyone participating in the Saturday night events, be it the Skills Challenge, the Dunk Contest, the three-point shootout. And then Sunday, it's Harden and no one else as far as the All-Stars go from your Rockets. So as far as Houston Rockets basketball, barring any sort of off-court signings, it'll probably be a quiet week for the Rockets. One name that we had hoped could potentially be a signing to inject some life into this show and Rockets discussion is Markieff Morris, but apparently that is not going to happen, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, who reported late Thursday that Morris had struck a deal with Oklahoma City. So not only is Morris not coming to Houston, according to Shams, but he's also going to one of the Rockets' chief rivals, which is definitely a blow. So as we chat on this Friday, without any direct on-court news to report on at the moment, we're going to be talking about the ripple effects of what happened with Markieff Morris. First and foremost, why he chose Oklahoma City. Secondly, where Houston goes from here. And then in the third and final segment, we'll wrap up with what I think is some useful perspective that Rockets fans should keep in mind, which is that, no, even though Markieff Morris did not give you the answer that you were hoping for, it doesn't say anything particularly negative about the organization or the team this season. I think, quite frankly, it reflects the fact that they have already gotten the Rockets, that is, a couple of very important yeses on the buyout market from both Austin Fareed in December and Kenneth Fareed in January. So it's not as if the Rockets aren't desirable. No, it's just all about minutes. And ultimately, I hope that minutes path would have taken Markieff Morris to anywhere other than Oklahoma City. The Thunder adding another talented 6'10" player to their front court is never a good sign, especially considering they've beaten the Rockets 2 of 3 times, including that scintillating comeback last weekend, overcoming the 26-point deficit. So I would have rather seen him go to Toronto, the Lakers, anywhere other than Oklahoma City. Ultimately, though, he chose the Thunder. It is what it is. And for those that wanted him here in Houston, I was right there with you. In a perfect world, I've said on the podcast this week, I would like to have Markieff here. I understand why the Rockets went after him. They would like to have more size. And he's a friend of James Harden's. So there were a lot of connections. I think the Rockets were definitely hoping that it would work out. But as I explained on Monday, the problem was always going to be the minutes. Because for a player that is bought out and is going to be a free agent this summer, and most of the players that are bought out are going to be free agents this summer because they generally are in the last year of their contract and they just signed one-year deals to get them to the summer when they hope they can get their next big payday. It's just one-year minimum level, occasionally a portion of the mid-level exception. The point is, it's about positioning themselves for that next contract. So I've seen some of the takes, well, if Tillman Fertitta would allow the Rockets to spend more of their mid-level exception, then maybe he would have chosen Houston over Oklahoma City. It's unclear at this point whether Morris is going to OKC for the minimum or for a portion of their mid-level. But based on the trends that we have seen to this point, I would say don't be naive. The fact is, a difference in maybe $1 million prorated for one season is pretty small potatoes when it comes to the player positioning themselves on the market this summer. That's why Wes Matthews went to Indiana, even though he had interest from Houston, from Toronto, from Golden State, far superior situations. It's why Wayne Ellington, also a Rockets target, went to Detroit, of all places. We have seen time and time again players turning down opportunities for contending or even more money for the sake of getting the most minutes, the best defined role that they think puts themselves in the right position for this coming summer in free agency when a lot of teams are poised to have cap room. So ultimately, that is the consideration that was driving the bus. And that's why earlier in the week, on the Monday episode, when we broke down the win the Rockets had over Dallas, I explained that, you know, there are certain considerations, especially with Kenneth Free defensively, that would make me a big fan of adding Markieff Morris. But the difficulty is whether he would take the role. Because in Houston, when everyone is healthy, your five starters plus Austin Rivers, Gerald Green, Iman Shumpert, and Kenneth Faried off the bench, that's a 9-deep rotation already. And it's a coach in Mike D'Antoni that has shown in the past his preference is probably to play 8 men, occasionally 9, certainly not 10. Well, you are already 10 deep. And for a guy like Markieff Morris that has options, that's pretty daunting. Now, I would probably take Morris over Faried, but it's not a given. Now, the reason you take Morris over Faried has been averaging 16 and 10 as a starter over the stretch without Clint Capela, but we've seen, especially against better teams, his defensive liabilities. So based on the fact that Faried can be such a big negative defensively, I'd probably prefer Markieff Morris as, say, a full-time option, because eventually if you put Kenneth Faried out there for 30 minutes, teams are going to find a way to exploit him. But what we have not seen yet is Faried in the role that the Rockets envision for him, which is that 12 to 15 minutes off the bench backing up Clint Capela at the five spot, because that way you might be able to mix and match in terms of when you play him in a game and hide his deficiencies to some degree and play to his strengths offensively as a role man. His quick twitch ability, his hustle, his ability to space the floor vertically, he can do those things better than Markieff Morris. Now, if one of those guys has to play 30 minutes, you probably prefer Morris because he doesn't have the gaping hole in his game that Faried does on defense. But when you consider the way Faried can score and his synergies on the pick and roll with James Harden and Chris Paul, it's not clear that Markieff Morris is definitely an upgrade. He might be in certain spots, but I would say it's unclear. And even if you do say Markieff Morris is hands down better than Kenneth Faried, okay, well, you're looking at maybe 12 to 15 minutes per game that Faried is currently slotted when everyone is healthy. And as a side note, I'm sure some of you are going to say, yeah, but the Rockets haven't been healthy all season long, so how much does if they're healthy really matter? Well, I don't think Markieff Morris is going to sign based on just a stubborn belief that even though Clint Capela is coming back on the other side of the All-Star break, that somebody's going to get hurt again the way it has to this point. That would be kind of silly. I know some of you guys feel that way because you're Rockets fans, and in a season that's been somewhat disappointing, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. I get it, but Markieff Morris, it'd be irresponsible of him to just wildly guess that, okay, one of these guys is going to get injured and my minutes are going to come from there. No, the Rockets are already 9 deep, and they're not going to play 10, I don't think, and that's what makes luring a player that has a lot of options on the open market and is trying to position himself for his next contract this summer, it makes it challenging. And to me, the main takeaway, I wish that he would have gone anywhere other than Oklahoma City, but my guess is that Oklahoma City, from all the reports, has promised him the minutes that had been going to Patrick Patterson. And right now, the Thunder on the front line, they have Steven Adams, they have Jeremy Grant, and after that, there's not a whole lot in the way of trustworthy options off that bench. And if they're willing to give him the minutes, Morris that is, that were previously going to Patterson, there's a more clear path. And the Thunder, outside of Paul George and Russell Westbrook, they are a team that's hurting for offense at times. You could see how they can get stagnant. Houston, there are so many additional creators, shot makers, compared to Oklahoma City, that a guy in Morris, who while tall, his main strength is that he's a guy who can space the floor, certainly can shoot from the mid-range, but also all the way out to three-point land. That guy at an Oklahoma City team that doesn't have that many creators and is known for defense, his offense might be a good fit. In Houston, with so many shot makers already, not only is it a question of minutes, it's also a question of shot attempts. So I just think he saw Oklahoma City as a better fit. And it's unfortunate because the Thunder, now having beaten the Rockets 2 of 3, now they did lose the game before the All-Star break last night in New Orleans, which gets them back within 5, the Rockets, that is, of OKC in the standings. So maybe they're not totally gone as far as chasing down the Thunder for the 3 seed. OKC does have a very difficult schedule coming up. But regardless, OKC, between their defense and Paul George emerging as a legitimate MVP candidate, they're daunting. I would have preferred that he go anywhere else, but at the same time, Morris probably sees it as a good fit for him. Also, a team that's certainly going to be in the playoffs and should be able to make some noise once they're there. then yeah, playing in big games in the Western Conference in the playoffs, that's also good for his value. So ultimately, I don't think it's anything bad about the Rockets. I think he just wanted a more defined role than what the Rockets could offer him with 9 rotation guys already there. And I'm sure some of you will say, well, couldn't he play at the 4 as well? Why are you just comparing him to Fareed? Because I think everyone, myself included, would like to take down PJ Tucker's minutes some. But the reality is that the Rockets are going to play 4 guards. That's not going to go away. You are starting Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and James Harden. Those guys are all going to play 30-plus minutes when healthy. And then you still have Austin Rivers, Iman Shumpert, Gerald Green off the bench. Yeah, sometimes one of those guys is going to be playing alongside your big 3 of Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon. So even though PJ Tucker, you'd like to take his minutes down, at the same time, it's not like you're just going to play PJ Tucker 30 minutes hypothetically and then all of a sudden have the remaining 18 for Markieff Morris. No, that's not how it works. The Rockets and Mike D'Antoni are going to play 4 guards. They have a lot of success, especially when they have Clint Capela as an anchor to offset some of the height issues and rebounding deficiencies when you go small. Houston does want to go small. And as far as Markieff Morris, a guy who really hasn't been the best player this year. Now, I know he's had the weird neck issue, so it remains to be seen if even he's healthy, but I'm not sure in a D'Antoni system if Morris is the ideal 4 anyway, based on the fact that his 3-point shot has generally been low to mid-30s. It's okay, but it's certainly not an elite shooter by any stretch of the imagination. So between the fact that he's not an elite shooter, he's a little big, he's got the physical concern with his neck. If anything, I think he is a small ball 5 in a D'Antoni system. And as mentioned, I would have loved having him as a hedge against Kenneth Fareed, because my hunch on Fareed is that he's good against bad opponents, but against upper echelon teams that you're likely to see in the playoffs, a lot of playmakers, guys like, or teams like Denver, Oklahoma City, certainly the Warriors. My fear is that they'll find ways to hunt down Fareed in the pick and roll, expose how slow he is laterally, those types of things. But again, he certainly has offensive skills that in many ways are superior to Markieff Morris that can't be overlooked, especially in the lob game in terms of vertical spacing. And we've also yet to see what Fareed looks like in what the Rockets actually envision as his role, which is 12 to 15 minutes off the bench, largely against second teamers, instead of 30 minutes per game against first teamers. So some of these defensive issues we've seen, the Rockets may be able to hide them a bit better once you have Clint Capela back and you're able to contort Fareed's minutes a little bit more. So I'm not saying that there's absolutely no case where Markieff Morris could play over Kenneth Fareed. I'm just saying it's a little bit murky. And as far as the 4 spot, yes, you'd like to take down PJ Tucker's minutes, but then you have your guards, and you also hopefully have Daniel House Jr. coming back at some point. More on that momentarily. And it's just, even though Morris would have been an upgrade for the Rockets in terms of who their current 10th man is, or 9th man, whatever you want to call it, the path to minutes is not as clear in Houston as it is in Oklahoma City, and ultimately that's what drove this decision. So I get the frustration. I wish he would have gone somewhere else, because I hate seeing one of your chief rivals get upgraded, but at the same time, I don't think there's a whole lot else that Houston could have done. I don't think it was money. I think we've seen over and over again, players are going where they can best position themselves for summer free agency. And it's a blow that you didn't get Markieff Morris. The Rockets will still be aggressive on the buyout market. They've got multiple targets. We'll get into that momentarily. But as far as wrapping up this first segment, why Markieff Morris chose OKC, what it means for Houston, it strengthens your chief rival. But as far as the Rockets, I think they did all they reasonably could. They went after him. And that's all you could really ask. They made their pitch for a guy who would be a pretty nice player at the end of their bench. Unfortunately, they're already 9 deep. Hopefully, they'll be 10 deep if they get Daniel House Jr. back. And Markieff Morris, in a summer or approaching a summer in which he'll be a free agent, he just didn't want to gamble. And as a player, as a free agent, now that he's secured his buyout from the Pelicans after being traded from Washington for luxury tax reasons, that's his prerogative. Wish he'd gone somewhere else, but the Rockets did all they could. I don't think it's about money. I think it's about role. And the Rockets went healthy. It's just not as clean of a fit as it is for Morris in Oklahoma City. So that's why, in my opinion, he chose the Thunder. It's a bad break, but all the Rockets can do from here is accept it and move on down the list. Who might that be? Stay tuned. Now, jumping back into the podcast, Friday's show, looking at the ramifications of Markieff Morris choosing Oklahoma City, what it means for the Rockets, and where they go from here. One thing we need to make clear as we look at this from a solely Rockets perspective and not Markieff Morris, they are going to sign someone to a fully guaranteed contract, not a 10-day, by next Thursday. This is not a self-imposed deadline like, say, the aggregation date in December, in which they say they're optimistic about a deal and then nothing materializes. No, under the rules of the league's collective bargaining agreement, after the Rockets opened up all those roster spots with the wave of action on deadline day last Thursday, they have 14 days before they have to be back at 13 in terms of guaranteed salaries on their books. That's part of the league's collective bargaining agreement because it makes sure that teams spend and it gives opportunities to players that are at the G League level, free agents, internationally, wherever they may be. So this is not just a hypothetical. We're saying that, yeah, because the Rockets next play again on Thursday, that they should have someone. No, they are going to sign someone. The question is who it is. And my suspicion at this point is that Daniel House Jr. is a front runner. But as far as whether he'll be this week's signing, some of it depends on information that we don't have. To be clear, I think the Rockets are trying to duck the luxury tax this season. We've discussed that ad nauseum the last couple of weeks. And realistically, when you're this close and avoiding the luxury tax this year means you don't have to fear the repeater tax at any point in the Chris Paul contract era, there's no point to going over the tax just for an 11th man in your rotation that, barring injuries, is not even going to play in the playoffs. That's why the Rockets shipped off James Ennis on deadline day. If the only thing standing between you and being under the tax is the 11th or 12th man, then that's just silly. Just go cheap for that spot. So I don't see the Rockets gambling at this point if they don't know their salary situation. And the big question is, can they sign another buyout candidate plus Daniel House Jr.? And of course, you don't have to sign House Jr. now. You just have to sign someone by next Thursday. And I've seen some suggest that you could sign a veteran by next Thursday and then House by the end of the year. Really, there's no deadline as long as he's converted before the playoffs. And then at that point, perhaps you'd still stay under the tax line. The answer is maybe, but unless Daryl Morey has calculations, and he may, that I'm not aware of, to me, it would come down to the incentives, whether Houston can stay under the luxury tax line with Clint Capella's contract. He gets $1 million extra if the Rockets make the Western Conference Finals. Obviously, that remains to be seen. He's also got $500,000 bonuses for defensive rebounding rate and free throw percentage, and both of those are up in the air right now. So really, it's $2 million in terms of your books, your potentially salary cap, and of course, your luxury tax figure that are dependent on bonuses from Clint Capella that we don't know whether they're going to work or not. And I can't see the Rockets, again, potentially paying the luxury tax and being subject to the repeater tax down the line, all for the sake of an 11th or 12th man off your bench. So my guess is for Houston, there's one roster spot that they are clearly going to fill. And then the other one, who knows, maybe if it becomes clear later on that Capella's not going to hit, say, the defensive rebounding and the free throw bonus structure, then maybe you could add another. But I think the Rockets, as they're planning, would treat that as a bonus. I don't think the Rockets are planning on filling two roster spots. So realistically, I think it comes down to best player available. And be it Daniel House Jr. or someone else on the buyout market, I think it's not going to come down to any other consideration other than who they think is the most talented player and the best fit for their basketball team. And for a Houston squad that outside of Clint Capella is pretty small, I could see why they thought Markieff Morris might be a better fit than Daniel House Jr. just to add some height. But as far as looking at the other options right now, if you're looking at the likes of Marcin Gortat, Robin Lopez, I just don't think those are good enough overall players relative to Daniel House Jr., even though he's a little bit smaller. Again, the Rockets are not opposed to playing small. We've already seen House play the four in some of those lineups, and the Rockets had a lot of success with him in those, I would say, 6 weeks that he played from late November until mid-January. So I don't think the Rockets are afraid of House at the four. It's a little different, but at the same time, it's Mike D'Antoni. He is flexible. And I just don't see the five spot once Clint Capella is back, and then you have Fried as a backup, you also have Nene, as such a glaring need that you would take a Gortat, a Robin Lopez over Daniel House Jr. Now, the argument in favor of, I guess, keeping House on his two-way, I've seen some worry about the precedent of if you give in, well, Daryl Morey, he loses face on the negotiation, and it sets precedent that if a two-way player plays really well, he can bully his way into a one-year contract and become a free agent. Not saying that's worthless, but at this point, with Chris Paul and James Harden in their prime and everything about the here and now, I think that's a far lesser importance than simply putting the best basketball team around those two, CP3 and James Harden, that you can. So to me, I'm not saying the precedent angle is irrelevant. I understand why Daryl Morey might have some reservations, but ultimately, if Daniel House Jr. is the best basketball player, the best talent available, you swallow your pride and you make it work and you worry about the rest later. So that's why I'm hopeful that the road may lead to Daniel House. Now, there's no incentive for the Rockets to act quickly. To be clear, there's no games until next Thursday. And in the case of House, he already knows the system. He knows his teammates. So even if he can't practice next week when they Monday or Tuesday get back to the court after the All-Star break, I don't think it's a big deal. I think you could fly in House and he has enough experience continuity with his teammates. He could slide right in even without a practice. There's no need to act until next Thursday. That'll actually save you a little bit of money as well because you're not putting anybody on your books until then. And there's no basketball games. So the Rockets, they can, in my opinion, should and will use the time they have available because part of it, someone else might shake free. You know, right now with Markieff Morris off, you know, I mentioned Lopez and Gortat being some of the best players available that I've seen. Who knows? Maybe someone else shakes free. Old Rocket Trevor Ariza, he still feels like such an odd fit in Washington. Is it possible that maybe the further they get into February and lose hope, could they buy out Ariza? And if that were the case, would he be interested in coming back to Houston? I don't know. That's just me speculating. But the point is, since House is already your player, there's no reason, since you have his rights, to rush into it. Use the time until next Thursday. That's a week. See if anyone else shakes free. That might be an upgrade. But if they don't, and part of the calculus too, by the way, because the Rockets have House's rights, one problem, even if there is a better player, you mentioned the Ariza hypothetical, okay, well, he might prefer to go to the Lakers, who are clearly a bit more desperate than the Rockets are. And of course, Ariza has ties to LA as well. So even if someone better does come available, it might be like Markieff Morris, in which you make your pitch, and based on minutes considerations or other factors, they just choose to be somewhere else anyway. So that's another pro to House, is that you have control. You can unilaterally convert him. You don't even have to convince him to say yes. So because of that, that's why I tend to think that it's going to be Daniel House Jr. for this roster spot. I don't see some grand plan to try and squeeze your way into two roster spots and stay beneath the luxury tax line. That's too speculative. I think at this point, you've just got to get the best player available. And based on the difficulty of getting a player to say yes, how limited the market is right now with Daniel House at the forefront of the list. And now that Markieff Morris is gone, really Gortat, Robin Lopez, those being some of the top guys. I've seen maybe Wilson Chandler, but I just don't see, even if you go the swingman route, I think House is much more dynamic, younger, explosive than Chandler. To me, House right now is BPA, best player available. Maybe that changes down the road, and that's why I think the Rockets can and will use this week to see what shakes free. There's no need to rush into anything. You can save money while waiting. You can see if anyone else shakes free on the market. I'm sure there'll be negotiations behind the scenes at All-Star Weekend, but unless there's a name that transforms the market, I'd be surprised if it wasn't Daniel House Jr. To me, with Markieff Morris off the board, I could see the case for Morris being an upgrade on House. Maybe not overall from a talent perspective, but at least from the standpoint of he fills a need in terms of height, that between that and the fact that he can shoot threes, that potentially could be an upgrade on House. I don't see that with the other names on the market. So while nothing would floor me, again, it's Daryl Morey. Everything is secretive. I don't have any inside information on exactly what their thought process, their considerations are. Everything that I know, House is the best player available, and I expect them to take their time. But ultimately, my guess is that the road leads back to Daniel House Jr. by next Thursday when the Rockets have to sign someone. Again, this is not just speculating. They are going to sign someone to that roster spot. Who will it be? Stay tuned. But of course, we'll have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets. Final thoughts as we close out Friday's show, our buyout and free agency themed episode. Nothing happening on the court for the next week until next Thursday night in LA, but the Rockets still very active because they have multiple open roster spots. They went after Markieff Morris before he chose Oklahoma City, and we know they have to sign someone to a fully guaranteed contract by next Thursday because they have to fill at least 13 roster spots by then. So who could it be? My guess is it's Daniel Wellhouse Jr., but the Rockets will take their time to see if anything else materializes. And who knows, if someone else, I mentioned Trevor Ariza as a possibility, but if someone else happens to shake free by next Thursday, I'm sure the Rockets will do their due diligence, and some of them might be better fits than Daniel Wellhouse. With House, by the way, there are some minor differences. If you keep him on his two-way, then the qualifying offer would just be a two-way contract this summer, whereas if you convert him, the qualifying offer when he becomes a free agent and the Rockets don't really have any tools to retain him would be $1.9 million, but that's semantics. He's going to get an offer this summer. That's why he's so confident in being willing to play at the G League level and not take the terms of the three-year deal that the Rockets are proposing, because House knows that he is going to have suitors this summer. So really, in terms of the qualifying offer, I don't see that as a major hindrance. House is confident for a reason. He is going to have suitors this summer. That's why the Rockets want to keep him for 3 years and been angling for that, because they know that by not having bird rights this summer, which they won't, they'd be fairly limited in terms of their ability to beat out outside offers. And then at that point, they lose him. So that's the considerations. But ultimately, as mentioned in the last segment, I just think they're trumped by best player available. That said, who knows? Maybe Daryl Morey has a different analysis. He's certainly, as a GM, more worried than we are as fans about the precedent of letting a guy on a two-way contract bully his way into free agency after year one. I understand that one of the more prominent GMs in the league might not like the tone that sets. Or it's possible that, as mentioned with Ariza, Wilson Chandler, other possibilities, perhaps someone shakes free that the Rockets just like a little bit better. Who knows? I would say that House is the most likely target if we were to guess based on, say, Vegas figures on who's going to fill that roster spot by next Thursday. But there could be someone else on the market. But even if there is someone that they like better on the market, the other consideration is to get them to say yes in a way that the Rockets could not get Markieff Morris to say yes. And this is where I want to leave you guys on this Friday, because I have seen, in my opinion, far too many woe as me takes on Twitter and all the other places we interact, Facebook, about no one wants to be a part of the Rockets, they're disappointed. That's nonsense, because you have already gotten two of the biggest bought out names this entire season in Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried. They just didn't get the fanfare because in December and January, when those guys were bought out, and of course Faried didn't even negotiate his buyout until he had a deal with Houston, but they just didn't have as much fanfare because that was before the trade deadline. So you didn't have this talk about will he, won't he, like you did with Markieff Morris, because really, at the end of the day, it's just Markieff Morris. The reason that I think a lot of Twitter is making Markieff Morris sound like LeBron James is because there's no one else out there. At the trade deadline, there's all these bigger names that you can focus on. Well, now that that's gone, anyone that's available, even if they're just a middling rotation player, which Markieff Morris is, if he's healthy, and it's not even clear if he's that, but because that's the only option available, it tends to get blown out of proportion as far as his potential impact. Well, Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried, I would argue, could have similar impacts. It's just you didn't have nearly the fanfare with it because there were much bigger fish that conceivably could be fried at that point in December and January leading up to trade deadline seasons. So no, the Rockets are not unattractive. It's just they've already used, as far as your playoff rotation slots, we mentioned 8, maybe 9 at the most. Well, 2 of your top 9 guys in the rotation were guys who chose Houston. They had other outside options. And part of it, you know, the injury bug, it worked to Houston's favor. Rivers chose Houston when Chris Paul went down. Faried chose Houston when Clint Capella went down. Well, now Morris is choosing Oklahoma City, apparently because they're willing to throw Patrick Patterson to the wayside. So the point is, circumstances might have intervened and pushed Markieff Morris to OKC instead of Houston, and that sucks. But no, there's not anything structurally wrong with the Rockets. If the need is there, if the role is there, players like playing here. James Harden, Chris Paul, it's an attractive system. Mike D'Antoni, one of the more beloved coaches in the league. That's why Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried signed here. And for all the people saying, oh, Tillman Fertitta should pay more money, Rivers and Faried are two of the better buyout gets of the entire season, both signed for the minimum. Again, because they agreed with their role and they think they are positioning themselves for the market this summer. So no, it's not a money issue. No, it's not an issue of Houston being unattractive. Players have and will say yes if they see the right role. Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried did, and they've been a big part of your success this year. Markieff Morris just thought his role was a little bit better in Oklahoma City, and it's nothing about Houston being disappointing or him not wanting to play with James Harden and Chris Paul. It's not about the money. It's just a more defined role with a slightly more clear path to minutes. It sucks, but it is what it is. Drop the hot takes, the angles about Harden, D'Antoni, Tillman, Fertitta. No, it's a system fit, and they got their way with Rivers and Fareed. They didn't with Markieff Morris. It happens, and you shouldn't forget about the guys you already got just because it didn't have the fanfare, because those buyouts happened before the trade deadline and everyone was focused on these bigger names. No, they're the same, just as impactful as this Markieff Morris one was. It's just everyone is fixated on this now because there are so few options now that the trade deadline is over that anyone who hits the market, even if they're just a middling rotation player, it gets blown up out of proportion, their potential impact, because everyone is so desperate for any upgrade they can find. So that's the last thing I'll leave you guys with. My guess is that Daniel House Jr. is the most likely as far as best player available. He's young, he can play multiple positions, he's dynamic, he's a good system fit, James Harden likes him, et cetera, et cetera. But who knows? This is the season of buyouts. Somebody else could hit the market, and they'll try, if that's the case, to get them to say yes. But ultimately, there's no reason to be more pessimistic other than maybe about the role and the same considerations we outlined with Morris. The Rockets already went healthy, having 9 rotation players that they like. Other than that, there's no reason to be skeptical as far as, do players want to play in Houston? Is the money a stumbling block? No. The reason you got Rivers and Fareed and the reason you didn't get Morris, they're pretty similar. It's all about the role. It's about the system fit. It didn't work out for you with Morris? Well, it has before with Rivers and Fareed. So I would say don't dwell on it. It is what it is. Move on down the list. Hopefully it's Daniel House Jr., but if it happens to be another veteran on the market, if the Rockets can sell them on the right role, they'll be exactly fine. The money isn't going to hold them back. The system, some of the hot takes that we've seen, no, there's nothing wrong. It's just simply about the role. And whether that happens, we'll figure out in the next few days, because as mentioned, someone has to be signed to a fully guaranteed contract by next Thursday. Who will it be? That's the big question. Whatever happens, though, of course we'll have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary, even during slow periods like this All-Star break, for all things Houston Rockets basketball. And if you want more content before our next episode, the best place to get it, of course, is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show us on there at Locked On Rockets. And also don't forget to check out our Locked On NBA Net handle. That's the curated feed on both Twitter and Instagram. Analysis from experts across our wonderful Locked On podcast network. Also, based on the strength of that collective network, you should be able to find this show and others like it covering NBA and NFL teams day-by-day analysis. You can find it at your podcast listening home of choice, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Based on the strength of the network, we should be everywhere. So please subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. That's how you get the benefit of episodes right when they come out. And we get the benefit between your subscription and hopefully your 5-star review of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping the business model rolling as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, beyond just leaving the 5-star review, if you'd like to boost your own business, please reach out to me by email, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. I've got some great introductory specials. So beyond just the 5-star review, if you want to help our business and let us, with our growing audience of diehard Rockets fans, help yours, then yeah, reach out, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, about advertising. That would be thrilled to hook you up with some of our introductory specials. Also, you can email me at that if you've got questions about the team, suggestions for the show, pretty much anything we can do to make this podcast experience better for you as a diehard Rockets fan, or even better for you just as a human being. Also, if you want to get in contact with me, I mentioned the email address, but also Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, Twitter, as mentioned earlier, and the website, LockedOnRockets.com. Always, you can get a hold of me or check out our prior content, archives, anything you might need as a listener to this wonderful program, or at least what I hope you see as a wonderful program. Anyway, with the plugs out of the way, this is where we'll wrap it on this Friday, February 15th. As always, thanks for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.